You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 989. In this episode, we've got a really great guest. We've got Ben Sibley with us, co-founder of Independent Analysis, a great WordPress plugin. He's going to be telling us his own personal story, what led to this plugin service, Independent Analysis. Where is it? We're going to be discussing all things around the WordPress plugin setup. It should be a great show. We haven't got Kurt with us today. You've only got me, my beloved tribe. Kirk's had a previous engagement, but it should be a fantastic discussion. So, Ben, can you just give us a really quick 10, 15 seconds intro? And when we come back from our beginner's break, we'll delve in a bit more detail about your background.
Sure. First of all, thanks for having me on. Excited to be here and to chat with you. My name is Ben Sibley. I got started with WordPress in around 2010, launched a theme company in 2014. And then in 2022, I launched a WordPress analytics plugin called Independent Analytics. And that's what I do with most of my time now.
That's fantastic. We're going to go for our starter break, folks. We've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. Want to point out we've got some great special deals from the major sponsors of the show, plus a created list of the best WordPress plugins and services utilized by WP Tonic ourselves. You can get all these free goodies and recommendations that will save you a ton of time by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. That's where you're going to find all the goodies, my beloved tribe. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. So, Ben, you gave us a quick outline. So, first of all, how did you get into WordPress? What was the initial journey around that, Ben?
Yeah, well, I was still in college at the time, but I wanted to start some kind of side business, side project of sorts. And I found a lot of bloggers online that were talking about WordPress and sharing tutorials. There's a lot of community around it. So I decided to build my first WordPress site around 2010. And I learned a lot about it. I really enjoyed building sites with it.
I'm sorry to interrupt. What was you doing? Sure. What was you doing at college?
I was studying business. So I was at school for business, getting an undergrad degree, and I just really liked WordPress. I thought it was really cool. It was a sort of like, there wasn't a lot of, there weren't influencers and social media. So people were blogging with their own websites, and creating your own website was still kind of a big deal. And it was very, very liberating. So I ended up selling some SEO services and things like that for my website at the time. But yeah, that's how I got into it.
And so how did that lead into a theme business? You know, are you a bit of a coder yourself, or did you self-teach yourself, or did you have somebody help you in the theme business?
Yeah, so the story is that a friend and I, my friend Andrew, who's the co-founder of Independent Analytics, we launched a business together that didn't really go anywhere. And then we parted ways after that, not friendship-wise, still great friends, but business-wise, we did different things. And I'd already learned a lot about WordPress and I felt like many of the themes were too complicated. So I started to learn how to develop on my own using Udemy, Lynda courses, things like that. And so I learned how to program myself and opened up a theme shop. And so that's what I ran for about 10 years now.
All right. In any particular niche or sector?
Not exactly. Well, they're minimalist and very like content friendly. So they're for bloggers, but all sorts of people. I get like a very wide range of people, musicians and poets and all sorts of stuff like that.
All right. So what was the initial idea or concept around independent analysis? And maybe you can quickly give us an outline what it actually does, Ben.
Yeah, so I had the idea while I was making another plugin, and basically I found that the Google Analytics, it had always been kind of complicated and I never really felt great using it. Then they released Google Analytics 4. I found that to be a lot more complicated, and it was causing privacy issues with the GDPR in particular. It became outright illegal to use in Austria and now many other countries in the EU. So people started looking for alternatives. So I kind of had this idea for analytics that are tightly integrated with WordPress. And meanwhile, there's this privacy stuff going on. And I also wanted to be simpler. And so all of this kind of coalesced together, and that became independent analytics. And so I am a developer, but I'm not like a very strong developer myself. Whereas my friend Andrew, who went to school for computer science, he's made Udemy courses. He teaches people programming. He really knows what he's doing. We had that business that failed previously. We teamed back up for this, and then this one worked out. So basically, with him doing the majority of the development, we were able to build independent analytics. And it is a simpler alternative to Google Analytics that is also privacy friendly.
All right. So when did you start that with your co-founder, Andrew, then?
Yeah, we started building it in mid-2022. And so we've been in business for a little over 3 years now.
So what's been a couple of the biggest significant problems you faced and overcome with developing independent analysis, would you say?
Yeah, on the development front, it's been technically challenging to create an analytics plugin that can run well on everybody's website, because people have all sorts of different server environments, different plugins running, and they potentially have a lot of data being recorded. So writing it in a way that it can run quickly and that it can work for everybody, that's been really difficult, and it's taken time, but we have that just about sorted out now. And then on the marketing front, it's just been a challenge to get people to find out about the plugin, and having a free version on the repository has helped a lot. But it is, yeah, it's these days it's tough to create software and get people to find it because there's so much competition.
It certainly is. So how did you work out? It's always very tricky, Ben. I've had a few discussions with founders like yourself, and the directory is a great way of getting some exposure, but it's tricky, isn't it? What you're going to offer in the free version and what you're going to offer in the premium. Because if you don't get that right, that's disastrous in its own way, isn't it? So how did you initially work out, or did you get it right initially, or have you had to adapt to what you're offering in the free version and what you're offering in the premium?
I think we did get it right because, I've been in the WordPress industry for a while, so I've gotten to use a lot of different plugins and watch a lot of other plugin businesses grow. And something I've realized is that when you make that MVP, that initial version, there's so much more you can put into the free version. Like you can really add like 90% of your ideas into the free version, and there will always be more to put into the pro version. So the free version has a lot of features. Of course, you can record unlimited numbers of visitors and things like that, use it on as many sites as you want. And so we didn't end up launching the pro version for about 5 months after we released the free version. And then we spent a year adding almost exclusively features to the free version. So over this last year, we finally started to put more pro features in.
Are you okay to talk about figures in, or would rather not do? Or are you okay?
Approximately. I could give some approximate numbers.
So how many downloads are there for the free version, and how many of the premier have been downloaded?
Oh, sure. So the repository says we have over 2 million downloads for the free version. Oh, and cool. It's installed. It's got 100,000 active installs right now. The pro version, I think it's about 2 or 3% of our free users will end up purchasing the pro version. So you can just, run the numbers that way, whatever it works out to be.
Right, and how much is the pro version? Do you have one price or a different level price structure?
Yeah, so we don't have any add-ons. It's just the pro version, and it starts at $49 a year for one website. And then if you want to have more websites, it scales up from there, and we also have lifetime licenses available.
All right. That's interesting. So what about the other area? Because I don't know how you would rate the plugin. It sounds not a simple thing. You just said you've had your struggles making sure it works. So how have you dealt with support? Because this is an area that can also become a obstacle for growth, and it, so how's that worked out?
Yeah, so for support, the knowledge base has been super important. So something I do is I'll do reviews of all of our support tickets. And my goal is that when I look at a request I've gotten, I don't want to get that request again. So I ask myself, how can I never get this question again? There's usually something I can do. Sometimes it's a very obscure question, but usually I can write a new knowledge base article. We can put a little tooltip inside the plugin, or we can just make a knowledge base article easier to find. Like maybe they're using different words to search for it than we have. So we can just add more content. That was working quite well. And then a new wave of chatbots came out that are powered by like ChatGPT. We added one of those to our sites, and people can still email us. And we're very clear about that. If you want to talk to a human being, here's our email address. But a lot of folks use the chatbot. And that works really, really well because it's powered by our knowledge base. So we've got this knowledge base that's over 100 articles, and the chatbot studied those articles. And so now it can answer any questions you have. And to be honest, for most queries, it says almost word for word what I would say because it's written in my voice from the knowledge base. So it works really well, and that's helped to reduce the support load too.
And do you mind, which chatbot are you using?
It's called Chatling.
Chatling. All right.
Chatling, yeah.
Did you look at some others, or was that the clear one that came across your radar to you?
I believe I looked at a few. They're all pretty similar from what I can tell. Chatling had was a little more affordable than some of the other ones. And my needs are pretty simple. Yeah. I didn't need a lot of the, lead generation stuff and those types of things. I just needed to answer questions.
Yeah, I'm looking to put one on the WP Tonic because we're a boutique hosting provider. And I was looking to put a chatbot, but a lot of them slow your website down. But obviously you found one that didn't, so I have a look at that. So has there been any kind of big surprise? I know you got this experience. Oh, that's another thing. How is the theme business still doing? Because you got, it's dominated by these page. Is it Gutenberg based, your theme business now?
No, mine are still all classic themes. So they work with Gutenberg well enough, but they don't have any special integrations. I don't actively develop new themes anymore.
Right.
And so, I sort of jumped ship to independent analytics. So the theme shop is not what it used to be. I think I've been saying I'm going to sell it for a while now. I just haven't set aside the time to do that. But the nice thing is that a lot of people still want just the classic editor themes that use like the live customizer instead of full site editing. And yeah, they still run perfectly fine. You know, they run really well for someone who still wants that kind of workflow.
Yeah, right. So what do you think on the marketing side, what has worked for you, you feel, apart from the directory? What are some of the leading methodologies that you utilize to get people to the website?
Yeah, so acquisition's been tough outside of the repository. I think our most important marketing activities have been utilizing it, just getting more out of those users. So for instance, collecting email addresses, setting people an onboarding series so they learn all the different features, get comfortable with like our knowledge base, and you know, we send them video tutorials, all that stuff. That's been most important for reaching other people outside of the repository. I'm going to say it's a little bit of everything, a little bit of SEO, a little bit of social media. But YouTube has probably been the most effective driver of like new customers and new signups. So if someone has a big audience there and they do a video showing off our plugin, that always works well to introduce it to a lot of new people.
All right. So you are looking for YouTube influencers and that to talk about your plugin. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's like the one thing that has repeatedly worked the best.
Right. Right. So would you say that the user base, I don't know if you've got a feeling for this, how many are they are just end users, or how many are they that buy are kind of implementer, freelancers, small agencies? Have you got any feeling around that?
Yeah, early on, I felt like it was maybe like 80-20 end users to, you know, professionals. Now it sort of seems like that's shifting. There's, I don't know if it's around 50-50, but it seems like there's more and more like professionals building sites for clients and fewer end users from our new customers.
All right. Got any thoughts why that is happening?
I'm not exactly sure. I think that it might be an industry-wide issue. I think WordPress might not be getting as many new end users with some of the competition from like Squarespace and other platforms. Or we just are reaching more of these, you know, freelancers and professional builders with our marketing.
Right. So where do you see WordPress now at the present moment? Where do you think it's going to be in 18 months? I put 18 months because if I asked you any further out, it would be ridiculous, because asking 18 months is a stretch, isn't it, the way things are moving. But where do you think it is losing market share? Because obviously you must have discussions with other plugin shops and other people in the WordPress space. Where do you think things are at the present moment, Ben?
Yeah, so when I started using WordPress in 2010, it was like the simplest solution available. It was very popular, lots of support. I think it's more complicated now than it was then. Largely because the block editor is more capable, but it's more complicated. And then you have, you know, blocks from plugins, blocks from themes, and now full site editing. It's gotten pretty complicated. And so I think they need to work on simplifying that. Otherwise, something like Squarespace just looks so much simpler for an end user. So yeah, I would like to see them finish like unifying these interface elements and simplifying that. I am excited for the AI integrations. I know that WordPress has, you know, been talked about as like as a platform for building apps, and sort of like a headless CMS is sort of how people have talked about it in the past, almost like an operating system. And I think as WordPress begins to open up to AI platforms, I think we could see people using it in different ways, where now they're building their own interface and then they're just building whatever they want through prompting. And that could get around a lot of some of the design challenges that I think we're seeing with WordPress right now.
Right. Can you expand a little bit by design challenges. What do you precisely mean by that, Ben?
Well, I think right now, when you use the block editor, you know, there's different options for different blocks. And then you've got some blocks that are just blocks added to the site. And then some come from plugins, some come from themes. They all might be, have different options and be styled a bit differently. And then you have full site editing. It introduces an entirely new set of menus. And it's just, it's kind of a lot, you know, for an end user. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why people still enjoy the themes I make, even though, you know, I don't get a ton of new business there anymore. You see a screenshot of the theme and then you install it and your site immediately looks like that. And then it's pretty easy to customize. I think that we've lost some of that. And so, I think it will take them time to unify the UI and make this a simpler, more streamlined experience. But the AI integrations open up a ton of possibilities where people could potentially circumvent that entirely by just writing prompts to design their website.
Yeah, right. Thanks for that. I think we're going to go for our middle break. When we come back, we're going to delve more in the world of building a really successful plugin business. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, and more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at WPRollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Coming back, folks. Want to point out, if you want to support the show and you're listening on your mobile device, why don't you leave us a review? It's really easy on Spotify or on iTunes if you're on your phone, like I said. And it really does. It's the biggest way that new people can see the podcast and join the tribe. So if you could do that, that would be much appreciated. So I think I haven't come to any conclusions, Ben. I think when you were doing your introduction, you said something I found really interesting. You were saying when you started blogging and having a website was really important. So do you think one of the other factors, do you think the importance of having a website has declined?
Yeah, for some cases, I would say yes, because when I first got started, there were bloggers, like literally tons of bloggers, and a lot of them were just writing about blogging, right? But there's this whole industry of them. And then Instagram blew up, and then of course TikTok and these other platforms, but that's when people became influencers. So like, you know, someone might start a fashion blog back in, you know, 2010, even 2014, but then it quickly became, okay, I'll just have an Instagram account or even a YouTube channel. And so a lot of folks that are looking to create content, it wasn't necessary and for them to have a website. And in fact, they'd probably be more successful just with a social media account because they can reach more people that way. And so I think that was a big segment of people that no longer needed to create websites. But for virtually every business, not having a website would be a real setback. You know, my wife, she does eyelash extensions. And so I built a website for her salon. And we've looked at some of the other salons and not all of them have websites. And so they've got that Google Maps listing, but you can only answer reviews and read one paragraph. You get like literally one paragraph on there. So when people have questions and, you know, of course, these doubts and concerns, you can't find an answer online. You have to call. But if you go to look at her business and you go to the website, well, here's an FAQ, a lot more photos, a lot more information. So it's just, there's a lot less friction. So for any business, I think having a website is essential.
Yeah, I think I agree with you totally there. Also with your own plugin, is it I don't know if you actually got data that shows you this, but how much people using it are using it for e-commerce that are using WooCommerce with it? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I think like a good percentage, it might be 5 or even as many as 10% of our users are using e-commerce, and they're more likely to upgrade to the pro version too. That's where, like, we have a WooCommerce and FluentCart and SureCart integrations in the pro version. And so a lot, and you know, e-commerce stores, they're making more money than most other types of websites. So they're more likely to upgrade.
Yeah, I think the most exciting thing in the e-commerce space has been the launch of FluentCart, isn't it? You got to be impressed with their ambitions and what they're doing there. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I think they're a good company. And, you know, we don't have an e-commerce store like that. We don't use FluentCart, but we played around with it a little bit to build our integration. And we were really impressed. It's really streamlined. It's really nice. For us, we always appreciate when an e-commerce platform has a test option. So we can just, you know, not have to actually complete purchases and run some test purchases in the real checkout environment and make sure that our integration is working properly.
So I think you also mentioned that one of the areas that really helped you grow is what the situation in Europe, because I think you mentioned, was it Austria, that you're not, that some of Google's analytics, they're not allowed to use it. So is that growing in Europe, kind of government and general restriction about utilizing Google's analytical product?
Yeah, so Austria was the first country to just make it illegal to use Google Analytics. And a lot of other countries in the EU have followed suit. Pretty sure like France and Italy, for instance, have also done that. If you're in the EU and you're in one of the countries that hasn't made it illegal, the writing's on the wall. Like, you don't really want to keep using this tool. It's also, you know, an American corporation that they don't want to share their data with them. And of course, in the US and other places, we're also looking at this like, well, okay, we may not all have the same privacy laws, but again, we also care about privacy and we want to do this for ourselves. So that change basically got people looking for a new solution, because I know that when I got started, analytics and Google Analytics, that was the same word. Like, no one even considered an alternative. And so it wasn't until the GDPR came out and people started having issues with privacy that they started to look for alternatives. And then this kind of spread everywhere. So now, you know, people in the US, for instance, that don't, maybe you don't even have customers in the EU, but you're looking for alternatives because you have this awareness that, like, okay, I need analytics. Well, what analytics should I choose? People are asking that question now. That kind of opened up the opportunity for us to build something different.
Yeah, and also the quality of the data they were providing, it's got more and more less specific, isn't it? And I think with the update they did, which I think was a couple of years ago now, or was it longer? When did they do the changeover?
They forced everybody to change in, I think, July of 2023.
Right. So it's a couple of years ago. Now, I am correct, the data that they now provide in it is even become less specific. Am I correct about that?
Well, I know they do some data sampling. I actually don't understand the specifics of how that works, but it's a little bit of like, you know, you probably have this many visitors kind of thing, which is weird. And then they get blocked by everything. So, you know, if you're using cookies with them and people aren't opting in, then they're getting blocked. And if they're using any of the different browsers that, any of the browsers that block these types of things, then yeah, people just aren't going to show up in your stats at all if you're using Google Analytics.
So when it comes to AI, how do you see that affecting your own business and your own plugin in the next 18 months? Do you envision actually integrating AI at all, or do you think it's got no relevance to where you are at the specific moment?
Yeah, I actually don't think AI is going to be a big part of what we do. For starters, using AI would probably mean taking people's data and sending it elsewhere, which is kind of a no-no for us. And then just as a product, like, tracking is part of what we offer, but then the other big part of what we offer is an interface. Like, this is an easy way to find and look at your data. I don't think people want to replace an interface with a prompt. You know, you don't want to, like, you could prompt like, okay, how many visitors did I have last week? Yeah. But it's just going to show it to you in text. Like, an interface is the best way to see that data. And so I don't think we'll be implementing AI anytime soon.
All right. Yeah, that's totally makes sense. It's interesting. Do you think the main challenge is for the, you know, you've got the possibility of the headless and working with AI, but actual Gutenberg, you see it more as an interface problem, which I totally agree. I've been going on about that for years, and I think they are making some improvements. I just think it's been a little bit slow, but on the other hand, it's a very large platform, so it's easy for me to criticize, but I'm not dealing with it. So you've got to find a middle ground. And I really don't want to be too negative. But what do you think? Do you think that WordPress can keep its market share and be effective against, I would say, Squarespace and Wix are the two biggest in the kind of consumer space, and there's a host of other, but they've got very small market share, haven't they? And you got Webflow and some other platforms, and you got Lovable in the kind of AI website building space, haven't you? But do you think it can maintain it, or if it can improve the interface? I think you suggested that's the key thing in your own mind, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely for end user adoption. Because where WordPress is still really strong is the fact that there's a massive developer community, and so many things have been built that the other competitors are never going to catch up in terms of functionality. So there's lots of specific types of sites, other than just like basic blogs and e-commerce stores, that you can build with WordPress that I don't think you can build with other platforms. Like, if you want to create a two-sided marketplace like Etsy, there's a lot of plugins actually that can do that. I don't know if you can, definitely not with Squarespace, maybe with Shopify, but there's, if you also want to have a forum, you know, if you want to build out, you know, a membership side to it, there's, you can do all of these things with one WordPress site and have everything integrated and running nicely. So in terms of functionality, it's always going to win. And for people who build sites for clients, WordPress is the obvious choice because you have all that freedom. There's lots of tools for this, all sorts of different workflows you can choose from. The only area I feel like it's really lacking is just that usability for new users. Like, if you just want to create a website for your business and you create a WordPress site, like, you're probably going to have like a tough time. I think they just need to, they're building out a lot of new functionality, but I think they need to, as quickly as they can, they need to streamline it. And I get it. It's like when it's installed on so many millions of websites and backwards compatibility is a big issue, that's like a lot of restraints. But it does need to they need to make it simpler for people to, you know, see a screenshot and then recreate that same design.
So you mentioned Shopify. You know, obviously, you know, have you been looking at expanding into the Shopify area with your offering?
Not really. We pretty much like chose to be WordPress specific from the outset. Like we've built it as a WordPress plugin. We don't have any servers or infrastructure of our own. Like you install the plugin, everything runs on your site. That's it. Right. And we do a lot of WordPress specific stuff. Like a simple example would be if you use another analytics platform, then you'll see in the pages report a list of URLs. You just have to know what page corresponds to each URL. But because we run inside of WordPress, we have all that data. So the pages report just shows the titles of the pages instead. So that is like a WordPress specific thing we do. And we're just pretty much focused on that. It gives us kind of a our own little moat. If someone's using WordPress and they see our plugin and then they see one of our competitors that you know, is installed with a tracking script, the fact that one of them is a plugin, they already know how to install plugins. They're going to trust the plugin a little bit more. It gets people to try us out. And then if they're happy, then and that's it. They've picked our plugin.
So what is the landscape? What are the main competitors for you?
Yeah, so outside of WordPress, our main competitors would be Plausible and Fathom Analytics. Both very similar, just simple, privacy-friendly analytics. Within the WordPress space, we don't have any really strong competitors, but there's a few other plugins. There's Burst Statistics and Coco Analytics. And again, both simple, privacy-friendly options. Independent analytics is being developed more. We're consistently putting out new features and we've got a lot of momentum behind us at this point.
Oh, that's fantastic. So is there one or two things, because you've been, I think you said the product's been out now for almost 3 years. Is there one or two things that if you knew what you know now, at the beginning, you would have changed the actual launch of the plugin and or the marketing or anything that comes to mind, Ben?
Yeah, there's some technical stuff we probably would have done differently. One of the, like, yeah, the hardest part of this whole business has been every time we introduce a new feature, we have to store new data in the database. So we have to update the database. So when someone updates the plugin, we need to run what we call a migration to change the structure of the database. You can't be recording visits when the structure just doesn't match what it's supposed to. And that running that has been a real pain. We do have sites that sometimes get stuck on that. And then we have to go in and help them fix it. That's probably, you know, a very small percentage of sites, but with this many installs, it does come up. And I think we would just do that completely differently. If we could find a better way, that's something I would do differently from the start.
Is there a way?
I'm not sure. But I'm not really sure. But there's some things we could do that would make it a little bit nicer, better tools for ourselves.
All right. So when it comes to the marketing, anything comes to mind that you would have liked to have changed?
I'm not sure. Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, if I could go back and have some more of the knowledge I have now, I would have, you know, made a nicer website sooner. But I think we've, you know, we've been learning, we've been growing, and I wouldn't say I have any like big regret, like I made like a huge mistake on this or that. Yeah.
So you don't mind, how many are in the company? How many is it, you and your co-founder, anybody else, or are you just running it between the two of you?
No, it's just the two of us.
All right. That's fantastic. All right. So one of our questions is, what are a couple people or companies or anything that's on your radar in the WordPress space that really impresses you, Ben?
Oh, yeah. I would say, well, I really like WP Product Talk podcast that's got Matt Cromwell and Katie Keith on it. And I follow both of them and I see their tweets. And yeah, I usually like what they have to say and learn a lot from them.
Yeah, Katie's a friend of the show. Anybody else? Anybody else?
I said they're the people that just come straight to mind. They're kind of my go-to people.
Well, you're supposed to say this podcast as well, too.
Sorry, right? Yeah, of course, WP Tonic.
Sorry, I had to tease me. Yeah, Katie. I think she's also tried to expand in the Shopify space as well. I think it's been challenging, but she's been very frank about that. I don't think they're going to give up, but I think she's learned some lessons because I think each kind of it's not only the technical, it's a kind of different community, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know anything about the Shopify landscape. And, one of the reasons why we also made a plugin, because it's not, Andrew's not a WordPress guy. He has been learning it through the building independent analytics. But as someone who's been in the space for a long time, there's so much domain expertise with WordPress. Just knowing little things about what someone's going to like or what someone's going to hate. Even if it's something simple like, oh, what if we add an admin notice? It's like, no, people are so sick of those. Like, there's a million little things that help to be aware of. And so with Shopify, I'm sure there's a bunch of those things too. And it would be especially difficult to build an aftermarket product for Shopify.
I've got the truth. I haven't used your plugin, but I am going to touch base with you and hopefully you'll be generous with me. I am interested to use it.
Yeah, give it a try.
What has been, you touched base on something, about, it's always another factor. How much of the interface do you keep inside the classical look of WordPress? Other plugins, they literally take over the whole admin space, don't they? And they put their own quasar interface on the back end, don't they? Obviously, you're dealing with a lot of data, a lot of charts and that. So was that a big discussion, how you were going to deal with that?
We needed to do our own thing, from the start. So, yeah. Of course, that left sidebar, that's there, the admin toolbar. We would never hide those things. That's your primary navigation that sticks around. But everything else, that is totally bespoke. When we take screenshots of it without the sidebar and the toolbar, people don't know it's in WordPress at all. And that's something that we had to do, I think.
Yeah, I think you had to, because like you say, you're dealing with a lot of visual diagrams, aren't you?
Yeah, it's all new stuff.
Now, I suppose because you're taking the data, the actual, it doesn't impact the speed of the website or the server resources, isn't it? Because you're just taking the data and presenting it in diagrams, basically, in ways that the data can be digested more easier. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a good question. So on the front end, to record the visits, we're firing a REST API request to your own website, and it's deferred, so it doesn't affect your core web vitals. It doesn't affect the loading experience at all. So even if you have tons of traffic, the front end's not going to be slowed down. In the back end, your posts menu, your settings menu, all these different menus, no performance impact. In the analytics menu itself, that's where we actually query the data and load it. So it loads quickly for the vast majority of websites. It can be slow for a really high traffic website. So sometimes people ask, I have a large website with all these pages. And the number of pages on the website, number of users, none of that matters. It's just how much traffic you get. So if you get 50,000 visitors a month, the analytics are going to load just fine. If you get 1 million, 2 million visitors per month, that's where it might get really slow. And there's not a ton we can do about that. We've optimized things a lot. At this point, we just say that it's generally not it just might not be the best choice for your site if you have that much traffic.
Yeah, nice problem to have, isn't it, Ben? All right, so let's wrap it up, Ben. So if you could, if you had your own time machine and you could go back to the beginning of your career, your journey with WordPress and that, is there any one or two tips or insights you would like to share with yourself, Ben?
Yeah, I think I started as a workaholic and it did not serve me. So I would go back and I would, you know, take more time for my personal life and not be such a hustle bro through my 20s. And I would think a little bit bigger. So instead of like pushing really hard on smaller ideas, I think I would take my time. I would have bigger ideas. I would think through them more clearly, because that's really how you end up creating something that is different and solving hard problems that, you know, you'll be rewarded for solving.
Right. But, you know, I think we touched this and I might be repeating myself, but what's your general vibe about WordPress? Are you optimistic where it's going to be in the next couple of years, Ben?
Well, you know, I don't think WordPress is like going anywhere. You know, like people change much slower than technology, and so many millions of people use WordPress, and we're going to keep using WordPress. I know that for any sites that I need to build for myself or anyone else, I'm always going to use WordPress. Like there's no way I'm going to relearn a new platform when I already know this one so well. So I think WordPress is for sure here to stay. I'm not worried about there not being enough people to become independent analytics customers or anything like that. I do think that it seems like end user adoption is slowing down. And I think that's what they need to address. They just need to make it easier for someone who's never built a website and is brand new to this.
I totally agree with you there, Ben. Have you got any other, you know, I don't expect you to tell me, but are there any new features or things you're going to add to the present plugin, or have you and your co-founder, have you got any plans for any new plugins in the next 18 months?
We don't have any plans for new plugins, but in terms of upcoming features, we are working on a user journeys feature, which is going to be pretty cool. It's going to let you see all of the recent sessions on your site, so you can open one up and have a full timeline of, you know, they viewed the homepage at noon, the about page at 12:03, then they bought this product at, you know, 12:15. So that's going to be really cool. I know a lot of people are excited about that. And our plan is to release it on January, as long as everything goes according to plan.
All right. And your co-founder, I forgot his name. What was the name of your co-founder?
Sorry. Andrew Mead.
Andrew. So what was his coding background? What languages did he get his chops on?
Yeah, so he went to school for computer science and then he got really into JavaScript, and he released on Udemy a JavaScript course and one for other JavaScript libraries like React and I think Redux. So that's what he was primarily doing. When he started working on independent analytics, that's when he started learning PHP and a lot more about MySQL. But of course, he's picked it up quickly. And, you know, he's one of those people who's like already like crushing it, but he's always got like a new programming book on his desk opened up to some page. So, I could not have possibly built this myself.
Right. Yeah. So, what's the best way for people to find more about you and your company, Ben?
They can head to independentwp.com. That's where you can learn all about our plugin. You can download it for free, explore the pro version, and find answers to any questions you have. Our links to our social media profiles are also on there if you want to follow us to find out when we release new updates.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Ben. It's been a blast on your journey. It's really great to hear a smaller shop, WordPress shop, plugin shop, doing really well in the space. I think it encourages other people that they can get some success as well. So thank you so much. And I've learned something from our chat. So we're going to wrap it up now, folks. We'll be back next week. Hopefully Kurt, my co-host, will be with me. And we should have another, I think we have got a very, very interesting show coming up next week. Should be spicy. I'm not going to tell you any more, Tribe, but it should be interesting. We'll see you next week, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.